72 degrees in Chicago, humidity 59% at 10:45.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now from Fairmont, Indiana, here is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? We speak to you now from Fairmont, Indiana, birthplace and home of one of the truly greats of the motion picture industry, a young man who contributed so much to the lively arts of the theater, the great arts, until his untimely death just 2 years ago next month. We're speaking from the birthplace of James Dean, a young boy who immortalized himself in motion pictures with his tremendous performances in motion pictures that you'll remember. The Warner Brothers production of Rebel Without a Cause, East of Eden, and of course, his great starring vehicle that brought him so many honors, entitled The Giant. And here today, in Fairmont, his birthplace, and in the sister and neighboring community of Marion, the world will first get a glimpse of the James Dean story, the new Warner Brothers production, which of course is having its world premiere here in the heartland of America and the birthplace of a great star. The vantage point for our broadcast today is in the James Dean Foundation headquarters, certainly a living memorial to a boy who, in death, found a just and a great reward for the talents that he brought to the world who performed and listened to his performances. And I think there is great justification to the sensitive boy who visited this earth for just such a short while, because here emblazoned on the overhead of the foundation reads not the words of Jimmy Dean, but the words that he seemed to live, to encourage talent, to recognize achievement, and to reward genius in the arts. Certainly this is one of the most exciting experiences that we have ever had bestowed upon us, and an honor that deeply is appreciated by all of us in this party. Because just a very few moments ago, the wheels of the great silver bird known as the Mainliner O'Connor, the private airplane of the President of United Airlines, Mr. Pat Patterson, who was nice enough to put at our disposal this great airplane, touched its wheels to the soil of Marion. Thereupon there was a motorcade from Marion, 10 miles away, to this spot from whence we speak now in Fairmont, Indiana. We're going to be telling you a lot about this memorial foundation and also about the life of Jimmy Dean. But the people to tell you that story are the people that were closest to him in life. And so our first guest today in interview is a young gentleman who is performing the duties of executive secretary of the James Dean Foundation. And here speaking from the headquarters is Les Johnston. Les, first of all, let me thank you for the great hospitality from the people of Marion and Fairmont. I can't begin to tell you how much it's touched our hearts, all of us in our party that flew down on Mr. Patterson's great airplane.
And Howard, we can't begin to tell you how grateful we are on behalf of all of our fans for you coming down here and doing this thing for us.
Well, Les, it's wonderful being here because for a long, long while, those of us in the allied arts to the motion pictures and the legitimate theater of New York have adored this boy as contributing so much, not just performances at the commercial level, but the performance which indicated a tremendous drive and a sensitivity that Jimmy Dean seemed to have that so few performers actually do have, the integrity for his part and his role. Did you know Jimmy here in Fairmont?
I knew him as a personality, not personally.
As a personality, I suppose that this is legend around here, his behavior pattern, his contribution to the local community.
I think it's true that Jimmy was a giant in Fairmont.
Les, what actually, I have tried to say some of the purposes of the foundation. I know that it's more to help people than it is to glorify the memory of one person. Well, how do you pinpoint in words the real meaning of the James Dean Foundation?
I think we can reduce it to a simple credo, and that is we're trying to translate the force of the James Dean legend into a constructive effort and education in the arts.
Now, how have you done that, Les? How have you tied up with these educational institutions around the country?
We sought their counsel on how we could best assist young people in dramatic training, and they have been most kind and most receptive to this idea.
Now, you were telling me just prior to the broadcast a number of different universities here, dramatic schools, that are tying up with your foundation so that young people like Jimmy once was, as a beginner in show business, could find perhaps a start in a rightful place.
Many Midwestern universities are interested in our program. We are directly connected at the present with Earlham College of Richmond, Indiana. And they, in consultation with the Neighborhood Playhouse School of the Theater in New York City, set up and administered a school theater this year here. Over 1,500 applicants were screened down to 48, which were accepted for training here. They recently graduated, and two of these winners, international winners incidentally, because some of these people come from as far away as Budapest, Hungary, and Dublin, Ireland. They graduated and were sent now to 2 years training in New York City. Two others were sent into professional theater.
Well, now, all this, of course, and I like to avoid crass commercialism when we talk about the memory of a good friend, but this does require a tremendous output of money.
It requires
tremendous monies to operate this and to help other young people. Who subsidizes this foundation, Les?
We are utterly dependent upon the generosity of people who admire James Dean or like the idea that we're trying to...
The helping of young people.
That's correct.
Well, then how do you affect this? How do you translate it in terms of getting this reward commercially? How do people contribute to the foundation?
All they have to do, Howard, is to send their dollars and dimes to the James Dean Foundation in Fairmount, Indiana.
And, of course, it will all be used in the operation of this foundation and in the helping young people who are starting in the theater.
Into our scholarship.
Les, I want to thank you again, and I know I have a chance to say thank you to everybody in Marion and Fairmount because these are two fine cities and large. But those who I don't get a chance to say thank you to, will you thank them for me? It's a most inspiring thought and sight that we've had this morning.
By all means.
Thank you very much. Now I should like to bring to our microphone, and as he weaves his way over to it, let me tell you just a little bit about the foundation. This is not a pretentious building that we're speaking from. This is little more than a storefront, but with a tasty decor. The decor, of course, largely consists of the awards and the plaques, the bust, the statue, the miniature of the great memorial, which is going to be built to the memory of Jimmy Dean. But more significantly, I think, than anything else, it tells the story of Jimmy Dean, because it shows an artwork, this boy at the age of 16, evidencing a tremendous talent with the easel and the brush. It shows some of his activity at the athletic level, where he led the local high school to sectional honors in the great state tournament of basketball. It also shows the young boy as perhaps Fairmount and Marion best knew him, as a hot rodder, a boy who loved to climb into the seat of his motorcycle, and I suppose gun it pretty good on these gravel and concrete roads of Indiana. But this part of the story, I think, is best told not by me, who is an onlooker and an interloper looking from apart, but rather the gentleman and his wife, who were the mother and daddy to Jimmy Dean. And I should like to bring to this microphone now of CBS for Wrigley, Spearman, Gum, Mr. Marcus Winslow, James Dean's uncle, who, of course, served as his father and confidant. Marcus, it's great having you here.
Well, it's very fine having you here, Howard.
I know that while these are sad moments in your heart, they are also glad moments because they immortalize a young boy that you have brought through youth and then into maturity and gave great spiritual guidance to. What are some of the fond recollections that you have of Jimmy, Marcus?
All the times we used to go swimming together and skating together and playing basketball in the barn and just being with him and like any other father would be with his son.
Well, now, Marcus, when was it that you first sensed that this boy was different than the average youngster? Of course, to me, most teenagers are pretty wonderful. But there must have been a time that he began to show a talent, a flair for the dramatic arts.
Not until he was a senior, or the latter part of his senior year, did we have any idea of his talents in dramatics.
And then how did it evidence itself?
When he won the National Forensic League state contest at Piru, Indiana.
Now, this is for public speaking before, of course, the vast audience.
Yes.
This is one of the great forensic...
It's a national organization.
Yes. And I noticed that over on one of the walls is that award, and, of course, the great headline of the Fairmount News, which proudly proclaimed that the native son won it.
Yes.
What was the subject of his talk that day? Do you remember that, Marcus?
The bad man.
And what was his reaction to winning this first big honor, this great
national honor? Well, he was really thrilled. I was out in the field working when he won it. And he came out running across the field to show me the trophy he had won.
You were out in the field. Mm-hmm. You were an active farmer here
yes.
in the pursuit of
mm-hmm.
the grain and the corn. In this
That's
area.
Right.
Is that right?
That's
Is
right.
it a stock farm or a grain farm?
Both, stock and grain.
Thank you so much for being here. Before we finish the broadcast, I want to also get your very charming, lovely wife who served as mother to Jimmy Dean, Hortense Winslow, who is sitting over here. Let me first just bring a word edgewise, if I may please, for Wrigley Spearman Chewing Gum, which, of course, is the product that makes it possible for us every day to speak to the great millions of people across these United States and up in Canada and in the Hawaiian Islands, the product that is accepted every place in every state and in every country as being the product of quality and choice of people everywhere. And if you haven't yet experienced the true delight of Wrigley Spearman Chewing Gum, I hope that you will, because it's always pleasurable, always good for you between meals or after meals. Why don't you enjoy Wrigley Spearmint? Well, now, of course, here in Marion today, the city which is the sister city to Fairmont, is the world premiere of the Warner Brothers spectacle, The James Dean Story. We had an opportunity through the good offices of Joe Friedman of Warner Brothers and Frank Casey, two gentlemen who represent the press and Warner Brothers, to see a screening of this in Chicago not too long ago. And I can assure you that here indeed is going to be one of the classics of the motion picture industry, because this depicts as well as anything possibly could the biographical sketch of the young boy who we honor today on this broadcast. Because this is a motion picture that shows the exciting, the fine, the artistry of the sensitive Jimmy Dean. These are the film clips of his entire life. The boy in Fairmont and Marion, and then the young star of the great motion pictures Rebel Without Cause and East of Eden, and of course, The Giant. It's always interesting to find out whether advertising is correct. And the great deal of advertising which is coming out in publicity about the James Dean story in motion picture form is, was he a rebel or was he a giant? I wonder. But there again, we must turn to people who know best the true likeness in the story of Jimmy Dean. And here then is the lady who really served as his mother. Jimmy Dean's actual mother, his real mother, died an untimely death when Jimmy was yet a mere boy. And so it befell the duty of his close blood aunt to raise Jimmy from childhood to manhood. So it's our pleasure, Mrs. Winslow, to present you, Hortense Winslow, the life mother of Jimmy Dean. Hortense, thank you.
Thank you.
I know that, as I express myself to Marcus, this is sad, but it's also glad because it commemorates the memory of someone who was very close to you. Now, as a mother, there must be things that you knew that even Marcus didn't know, Hortense. What are some of those things? Was there a cookie jar in the kitchen?
Yes. He liked to eat, too.
Huh?
And he liked to cook. He'd go out and stir up candy or cake or anything.
Was he a rebel or was he a giant, Hortense?
Well, I would say he was both.
It's a good answer to a difficult question. Where was he the rebel? Was he a recalcitrant? Did he rebel against parental influence or controls?
Well, yes. He had his idea about things, and if I would tell him to do something and tell him how I wanted it done, if he thought he knew a better way, I would have to sell him on my way. He wouldn't do it my way just because I told him
but
to.
But he would do it, and that's a significant thing, because thousands of teenagers who adulate the memory of Jimmy Dean must realize that he was a good boy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Now, where was he the giant in your thinking, Mrs. Winslow? How was he a giant?
Well, whatever he did, he threw himself into it. He intended to know all about it and give it everything he had. He intended to do it right.
He had a great inner compulsion and drive.
Yes, he did.
Thank you very much, Hortense. It's been a great pleasure for us to emanate this portion of our broadcast down here in Fairmont, Indiana today, the birthplace and the home of his early years of Jimmy Dean, a home that he truly never forgot because even to his untimely death, he still remembered Mom and Dad back on the farm in Indiana. And so it's to his memory today that we help to commemorate the groundbreaking ceremonies of the James Dean Memorial. And I'd like to suggest again to those of you who remember the contribution that Jimmy made on Earth in life, you can contribute to this very worthy cause for the youth of America by sending your dollars to the James Dean Foundation, Fairmont, Indiana. Just put any contribution you might into an envelope. It'll be received and it'll turn to a force for good for the youth of America. And now until we see you tomorrow back in our homestand of Chicago for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, this is Howard Miller again thanking the wonderful people of Indiana. Thank you for the privilege of visiting with you here. And until tomorrow, thanks for listening. Goodbye for now. Back to Joe Foss in Chicago.
You've just heard the Howard Miller Show, coming to you today from Fairmont, Indiana, and brought to you by Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Be sure to join Howard tomorrow at this same time on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM Chicago serves two full glasses, 12-ounce king-size bottles of Coca-Cola.